We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present, unbelievable happenings as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent. Scientists and photography experts have examined the individual frames of this film and have come to the conclusion that the film and the creature are authentic.
Telepathy, psychokinesis, Bigfoot and black masses, UFOs and Atlantis, Kirlian photography, cloning, and cryonics. These subjects all have one thing indisputably in common. People want to know more about them. For mankind's future on Earth and beyond.
Welcome to After Dark Radio with your host, Brian Alvarez.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on After Dark Radio. It is Sunday night, July 5, 2015, here on the Dark Matter Radio Network every Sunday night, midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, which is, in fact, the Monday through Friday time slot of Art Bell starting in just a couple of weeks now. Believe it or not, we are only 2 weeks away from the debut of Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. In fact, 2 weeks from now, Sunday night, I will be preempted by Art Bell. He's going to be doing a special preview show on Sunday night in this here very time slot. And we'll give you more information on that as the night goes on. 14 days, 23 hours, 57 minutes, and 29 seconds until the launch of Art Bell here on the Dark Matter Digital Network. Until then, we've got some great shows coming up for you, including tonight. Been a long time since we did a show without a guest, and tonight is going to be one of those nights, and I have got so much stuff to get into here today. I have a stack of papers, quarter inch thick, and yes, I'm using papers here this week, of stories, news articles, some very, very interesting things to discuss on the program here today. And of course, as always, we will be taking open line phone calls for the next 2 hours here on After Dark Radio. First things first, we got to head up to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. That is the website. It's very, very important because if you're new to the show or perhaps you've listened to the show for a while, but you're not exactly sure how to contact me or call in, all of the phone numbers and everything are up there on the front page of AfterDarkRadioShow.com. I'm going to throw out all of the phone numbers right now, probably throw them out again at the top of the second hour. But since there are 4 lines, and I don't want to bore everybody, I will simply say, if you'd like the phone numbers, head up to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. But if you are listening and you've got a pen, I'm going to give you the numbers right now. You can put these into your phone. There are at least 2 numbers for everybody because we have an east and west of the Rockies line. And we also have a Parts Unknown line. And the Parts Unknown line is similar to Art Bell's old wild card line. Doesn't matter where you are anywhere in the world, you can call in on the Parts Unknown line. We've also got the First Time Callers line. If you've never called this program before, you can call that number. So stand by the numbers to call tonight for open lines here on After Dark Radio. If you are west of the Rockies, which according to the weather reports is the dry area of the country, 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. If you are east of the Rockies, the wet side of the country, 425-482-1686. That is 425-482-1686. If you are anywhere in the universe, the Parts Unknown line is available for you. 425-398-7353. That is 425-398-7353. If you are a first-time caller, you have never called the program before, The phone number, 425-398-7289. That is 425-398-7289. Probably start taking phone calls in about 15 minutes here. So either stand by or just call for 15 minutes. Essentially, if you ever listen to the old Art Bell show, these numbers work very much the same way. There is no call screener. The phone is going to ring and ring and ring, and eventually you will hear the program. And when you hear the program, that means you are next in line. And when I say, for example, East of the Rockies, you are on the air, that means you are on the air and ready to go. So if you call and nobody answers, if you call and the line is busy, if it rings and rings and then disconnects you, just keep trying. And if you don't give up, eventually you will almost certainly get on the program here tonight. My email is brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. All one word, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, @afterdarkradioshow.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'll be monitoring my Twitter all night here. It is @BrianAlvarez. And the Facebook page, which is run by Andrew Lutsky, is up at facebook.com/afterdarkradioshow. Facebook page is pretty cool. Andrew's got it set to release about 3 new articles every day. So if you follow us on Facebook, you're not going to be bombarded with 9 million wacky articles throughout the day cluttering up your newsfeed. A maximum of 3 per day. And he works very hard on finding the best articles to send to your newsfeed. So if you'd like to read some of the strange things that Andrew comes by every day, that is facebook.com/afterdarkradioshow. Follow us there. And of course, follow me on Twitter as well. If you'd like to be a guest on the program, you can message Andrew through the Facebook page, either if you want to be a guest or if you think you've got a great idea for a future guest. I got some openings coming up. As noted, no guest this week and no guest next week. But coming up in late July and moving into August and the fall and winter, we got a lot of slots open. So if you'd like to be on the radio program, that is the place to go. facebook.com/afterdarkradioshow. Contact Andrew. Now, we got a lot of big news here on the Dark Matter Digital Network. As noted, we are 2 weeks away from the launch of Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. I'm sure many of you listening to this right now have already become time travelers. That is the subscription area. You do not have to be a subscriber to hear Art's show. It is going to air live and free Monday through Friday, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. However, if you can't stay up that late, if you can't make it through the whole show without conking out because you got work the next morning, you can sign up for $5 a month and become a time traveler and have full access to all of these shows. They are all available via podcasting. You can download the MP3, listen to it wherever you go. And once again, you can become a time traveler by going to artbell.com. That is the main website. If you scroll down, it'll say join the time travelers. Click that link, sign up, $5 a month on PayPal. You can also donate if you'd like to do so. And for $5 a month, you get full access to all of the shows that Art is going to produce. Now, there has been some other news that has been released this week. Perhaps you have gone to artbell.com and clicked on the time traveler link, and you'll see a special page here that tells you how you can subscribe. And up at the top, there are a couple of menu items, and one of them is shows. And of course, you can scroll down, and on Sunday, you can see all the info for After Dark Radio, which is the show you're listening to right now. My name is Brian Alvarez. But above that, you will see that not only is Midnight in the Desert launching on July 20th, but The Other Side of Midnight is debuting as well. Now, until this past week, nobody knew who was hosting Other Side of Midnight. And there were a lot of suggestions. A lot of people had different ideas about who that person might be. I was not told. Keith would not tell me who the host of The Other Side of Midnight was going to be. I'm not going to say who I thought it was going to be. I had two predictions, and I don't want to throw names out there because who knows where things might go in the future with other hosts here. I don't want to cause any trouble, but I did have two people that I thought might be the host, and I was wrong. Missed by a mile. If you've not heard, the host of The Other Side of Midnight beginning on Monday night, Tuesday morning, July 20th / 21st, is Richard C. Hoagland. Richard C. Hoagland is going to be hosting Other Side of Midnight 2 hours every single night after Art goes off the air. So Art's going to go 3 hours, and then Richard C. Hoagland is going to go 2 additional hours. Now, I know a lot of you listening right now may have thoughts on this. In fact, Art, when he was up on Bell Gab about a week ago, made it very clear that, what did he say? I don't have it in front of me. He said something like, this host may be very controversial, or the decision will be very controversial, or something of that nature. And so everybody has been talking about the decision to have Richard C. Hoagland host The Other Side of Midnight. So if you're listening to this right now, and you have strong thoughts one way or the other about Richard C. Hoagland hosting this show, I would like you to call in tonight and give us your thoughts. I've got some thoughts on this. I think it is very, very interesting. I might give my thoughts here at the end of the program. I want to hear some of your thoughts first. Find out what you think of this idea. We'll discuss those here on the show and find out what is on your mind. Talk more about this later on in the evening. Got a lot of news stories here. Obviously, it is July 4th weekend, and I had a fun July 4th. I hope everybody else did as well. Even if you do not live in the United States, the Dark Matter Digital Network does go all over the world. And so I'm sure many of you listening to this right now are not U.S. citizens, but hey, it's the 4th of July. I hope one way or the other, the 4th of July was fun for you. I went with my wife. There's this park, which coincidentally has nothing to do with 4th of July, but it's called Log Boom Park. And that's where we went to watch the fireworks display. And it was pretty awesome. I have to say, it was the first time that I had ever watched a fireworks display, and they didn't play any music. Normally, like the New Year's Eve, or if you watched the 4th of July fireworks in New York City, they usually play music the whole time. And here at Log Boom Park, they just blew up a bunch of fireworks and no music whatsoever. Went about 15 minutes. Very good fireworks display. One of the interesting things about it that I want to bring up here is, I know all of you have heard of drones. Some of you may have seen drones. A lot of people have talked about drones and UFOs and that sort of thing. Drones can easily be mistaken for UFOs. And I was sitting there last night and watching the fireworks display. And the guy next to me, he's watching with his wife and child, and he's essentially doing running play-by-play like he's a sports broadcaster. And he's sitting there watching the fireworks, and all of a sudden he says, "Hey, check out that drone." And I hadn't noticed it, but as soon as he called attention to it, there was unmistakably a drone that was hovering around right in the midst of the fireworks. Now, I have never seen a drone in real life prior to last night. And I'm sure when I tell this story, I don't know, there may be some of you out there that go, "Dude, you may think that's a drone, but that's some weird behavior. This might have been a UFO." Whatever this was red and white, and it was blinking. And the weirdest thing about it, at first I thought it was an airplane because it was just kind of flying in a straight line. And as it started to get close to the fireworks, it just dead stopped. It just stopped, and then it went straight up, and then it started going to the left in the other direction again, and it floated quite a ways away from the fireworks, and I mean, I presume it was a drone. I presume this guy knows what he's talking about. I've never seen a drone. I don't really know how they operate. I just know they're very, very small. I presume that they can make maneuvers such as this, but I was just, whatever it was, I presume it was a drone. At my core, I am a skeptic. I gotta really have a preponderance of evidence to believe that this was an alien craft or anything out of the ordinary. I presume it was a drone. But when I was watching it, and I was watching all of its maneuvers, you know, going right, going left, up, down, stopping, moving again, I just watched and I thought, you know, if you have never seen a drone and you looked up in the air and you saw this, I guarantee somebody would have been calling the National UFO Reporting Center. And for all I know, it was bombarded with calls last night. I mean, it was the 4th of July, so I'd presume that most people assumed whatever they were watching were fireworks. But it was pretty amazing to see this thing doing all of these maneuvers. And it was doing maneuvers right in the middle of the firework display. And it almost became a game to me as I watched all of the fireworks shoot up in the air and explode. Will a firework be able to take out this drone? And at the end of the day, the answer was no. A firework was unable to take out the drone, but I was hoping that something was going to fly up there and take this thing out, and down it would go, but it was all for naught. But it was a fun fireworks display. I got to see my first drone. That was pretty cool. And the interesting thing about our area is it is hot. Now, I live in Seattle. I know if Art's listening, for example, he's down in Pahrump, Nevada, so me sitting here talking about 90-degree days means nothing. But if you live in Seattle, we don't have a lot of 90-degree days over the course of the year. Or Keith as well. Keith is down there in Arizona. I'm sure he's probably like 200 degrees there right now, but we don't get a lot of 90-degree days. And the weather report just came in, and Seattle has set a record for the first time ever. And think about this if you live in a hot area. For the first time ever, we've had 5 straight days over 90 degrees. That's a record here in Washington State, here in Seattle. So, or actually, in Seattle, not Washington State. I'm sure in Yakima or Spokane, for example, it gets very, very hot. But anyway, the point of this is very, very hot here. And so there have been a lot of fireworks bans. But that did not stop everybody from letting off their firecrackers. They were being sold, although the police were going around and trying to stop people. They were confiscating fireworks around here, and it's been very, very hot. It's very, very dry. And so, yes, here in Seattle, dozens of fires destroyed homes and damaged land all around Washington. This from Cairo TV. Firefighters battled multiple fires in a dry 4th of July. Some departments called firefighters back from their off-duty days because of the high call volume. Here's a recap, it says, of some of the larger fires. This illegal firework caused a fire to spread from a roof in Federal Way through the second story of a home. Family of 9 completely displaced. These firefighters called for a brush fire. These called for a general alarm status. Multiple off-duty firefighters called due to high volume of multiple fires. 3 brush fires within 10 minutes here in central Pierce County. Fires occurred in South Hill, Puyallup, fire at the skate park in University Place. It was out of control. Bunch of people just going nuts with all of their fireworks. And unfortunately, around the country, things were perhaps worse. I didn't get a report like this. Perhaps you've seen this. This is from WLOX.com. This particular article from the news for South Mississippi. I believe this was originally an AP article. Man shoots off firework from the top of his head and dies instantly. A 22-year-old man who was drinking and celebrating the 4th of July tried to launch a firework off of the top of his head, killing him instantly, authorities said on Sunday. Devin Staples and his friends had been drinking and setting off fireworks Saturday night in the backyard of a friend's home in eastern Maine, said Stephen McCausland, a spokesman for the State Department of Public Safety. Staples, 22, of Calais, small city on the Canadian border, placed a reloadable fireworks mortar tube on his head and told his friends he was going to light it, but his friends urged him to stop. Any firework that has mortar written on it, I wouldn't even buy, much less put on my head. And it says apparently he thought this was a good idea. This from the spokesman. His friends, they thought, dissuaded him from doing it. And the next thing they knew, he ignited the fireworks and he was killed instantly. Staples' brother Cody told the Daily News of New York he was a few feet away when his brother lit the fireworks and was about to come to his side after he was first coming to his side after it exploded. There was no rushing him to the hospital. There was no Devin left when I got there, said his brother. Devin was not the kind of person who would do something stupid. He was the kind of person who would pretend to do something stupid to make people laugh. Staples' death is the first fireworks fatality in Maine since the state legalized fireworks on January 1st. Lawmakers had voted to repeal a 1949 law banning fireworks, reasoning the industry would create jobs and generate revenue. Apparently in Montana on Saturday, a 32-year-old man killed in a fireworks accident involving a mortar tube. These mortar tubes, it's no good. And in New Jersey, a 52-year-old man blew off a large piece of his left leg below the knee. when he set off a tennis ball-sized firework in Leonia. I don't think anyone blew themselves up, but I was watching a show last night around midnight, and I looked out the window, and there went the ambulance up to the top of the hill. And I don't know what happened. It didn't have its sirens on or anything. Hopefully it was just a minor injury, if any injury at all. But everyone's got to be safe out there, for crying out loud. It's 4th of July. These things blow up. So take care of yourselves and each other. Let's go to the phones. The Parts Unknown line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, I was just talking about, listening to you talk about Art, and I think I'm really stoked to hear that he's going to be on here shortly. And but Richard Hoagland, I feel like there's going to be limits to what we can talk about with Richard. So I think he's a great mind, and he's got a lot of great ideas and everything, but I think there's some limits there, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if Richard, I mean, if anybody knows otherwise, you can let me know. I don't know if Richard has said anything publicly about his show. I don't know if he's talked about what he's going to cover. I mean, I know he's a very well-spoken guy, and he's got a lot to say about a lot of topics, but my main concern when I heard it was, we're talking 10 live hours a week. That's a lot of time.
That's, you're exactly right. That is.
I'm telling you, there's a guy here who's doing 2 hours tonight.
Yeah, that's a lot of material he's got to come up with for the week.
Well, luckily, he's got some material with this probe that I guess was flying around Pluto. I've actually got an article here on it somewhere, but it has mysteriously disappeared. You'll be shocked to hear. But he could probably talk about that for at least 2 weeks, I would guess.
I'm sure he could. Well, listen, I think you do a great job too. It's the first time I've heard you, and I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, really? Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call here tonight, and please keep listening and please keep calling, and especially after the two new shows kick up, Art's show and Richard C. Hoagland's show. I'm going to want to hear from everybody after. It says here, Hoagland. This is from Keith. For those of you wondering about Richard C. Hoagland, he is going to be doing a 6-hour Pluto special on Monday night, July 13th. 6 hours. He is going to be here live during the flyby. Now, I gotta ask Keith about this. Keith is communicating me through a chat box we've got right here, but in fact, let me find the article here. I've got this. I'll explain why I've printed everything out here in just a second, but I know there's a lot of stuff going on with this Pluto probe. Where's my paper here? New Horizon is obviously what we're talking about. Okay, here we go. This is about New Horizon. An artist's impression of NASA's New Horizon spacecraft encountering Pluto. That's the photo here. NASA scientists were working on Sunday to revive the New Horizon spacecraft after it suffered a computer malfunction just 9 days before it was due to fly past Pluto. The probe has been barreling toward the dwarf planet and its primary moon since January of 2006. On Saturday, an unknown glitch caused New Horizons to switch to a backup computer, which triggered an 81-minute break in radio communications with mission controllers at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. Full recovery is expected to take 1 to several days, NASA said. New Horizons will be temporarily unable to collect science data during that time. The work is complicated by the 4.5 hours it takes to send a set of signals to the spacecraft, which is nearly 3 billion miles from the Earth. Like NASA's early Mariner, Pioneer, and Voyager missions that first explored the solar system, New Horizons is designed to conduct science on the fly as it passes within 7,800 miles of Pluto on July 14th. Pluto's gravity is so weak, it would take a huge amount of fuel for a spacecraft to break and put itself into orbit. And New Horizons spent most of the 9-year journey to Pluto in hibernation. It was revived in January to begin collecting navigation and science data. So right now it's down. And we can only hope that it ends up coming back up in time for Richard's special. It's going to be quite a 6-hour special if there is no flyby. or if there is a flyby, but we're not getting any data being sent from New Horizon. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
Yeah, I'd like to help you out with what you just said about the drains and the fireworks. I think that might be Alex Shane, because I just watched the video today where Alex Shane put a drain up in the air, and he was doing a video with the drain, and it was taking pictures of the fireworks and doing a video of the fireworks.
Who is this?
He's the guy that runs InfoWars. His name's Alex Shane. The WWE actually did like a parody character of him one time.
Doesn't he live like on the East Coast?
He lives in Texas, actually.
Texas. So you think that he drove from Texas to Log Boom Park to operate his drone over my fireworks display?
I think somebody got the idea, at least, from him, because he did like this real popular video where he put all these drones up in the air, so that was probably at least inspired by him.
I see. Now, so he could have stayed in Texas. Someone else just stole his idea, his unique idea, to fly a drone up through the fireworks.
I think it was a couple days old, so that's probably what happened.
How about that? You know what? I never would have thought of flying a drone by fireworks. Ryan, what about you?
Sounds a little dangerous to me.
Well, you're not in the drone.
Yeah, I've been killed by a drone at work before, so it's not for me.
Someone at your work has been killed by a drone?
One inmate ran into our building once at work, but the cops told us not to worry because they were making maps of Cumberland.
Okay, so the drone that was making maps of Cumberland did not kill anybody at your work?
No, it just missed the building by about 2 inches and had our secretary on the ground and one of our other office ladies on the ground holding their head, and they thought the building bricks were to hit them in the head.
I see. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call and clearing up the drone issue there. I had not thought that perhaps somebody was flying a drone to record the fireworks display. That's an ingenious discovery by Ryan. To the phones, first-time caller line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
We were just talking about Texas. What's going on?
Well, I was given your phone number by a friend who said that I could talk with you about being electronically tortured.
Electronically tortured?
Mm-hmm. She said that you receive a lot of phone calls from people talking about being tortured electronically.
Well, I certainly receive a lot of phone calls from people. Now, this electronic torture that you're talking about, are we talking like you're hooking up electricity to you, or are you talking about perhaps some sort of torture over the internet, electronically?
About 15 years ago, and I'll try to make this brief, I experienced unusual pain going up my right arm across my chest and into my heart. And I talked with someone where I lived, and she said she knew about this. And I moved, and I went to Washington State and stayed with a friend for a few weeks. And one night, I was sitting on a chair, and I had my feet propped up on another chair in her dining room. And the top of my feet, I had socks off, began to open up, and blood began to come out. And I know this sounds bizarre. And I yelled to Linda, I said, please grab my camera. I had an expensive camera sitting on the dining room table. Take pictures. And then I took pictures from my point of view. She said, tell me what's going on. And I said, I don't know. This is new. I don't even know how to talk about it.
So you didn't have your shoes on, obviously. And
no, I didn't.
And your feet just opened up.
Yes. And blood began to come out of them. There were about 6 spots on the top of each foot. And this was bizarre, and it was difficult for me to believe it was happening. I was confused and frightened. And Linda said, let's go to the computer. so she did, and she said, give me a little bit of information. And I don't remember what I said, but she typed in mind control and torture. She said, I know a little bit about this because a friend had talked to her about it. And a lot of information was printed out. And I read some of it, and I felt sick. And I was confused, frightened. And like I said, this was 15 years ago, and the torturing has increased dramatically. I talked with a therapist about it here in Austin, and she said, give me time. I need to do some research. She said, you have to allow me doubt. And I didn't want to hear that. I wanted my sanity validated. And she explained, talked to me at any rate. About 3 weeks later, she said, talk to me again, and I did. And she said, I don't doubt you. I know that you're telling the truth. She went online and gathered a lot of information. I can't begin to tell you how much my body has been tortured. And my cats are also tortured electronically, especially Zachary.
Your cats?
And my cats.
Okay.
In front of me. I mean, I love my cats, and it's extremely difficult to try to comfort Zachary. He can hardly move. His eyes are bulging out of his head. He can't breathe. He's making this guttural sound in his throat, and he's a healthy, healthy cat. And I stroke him, kiss him, pray, etc. And eventually, the perpetrators, that's what they're called, do what is called releasing the target. And Zachary looks normal again. My feet and ankles and my pastor in my church, a few friends in my church have seen this recently, have been burned, electrocuted, and the information I have is it's done with electricity, electromagnetic radiation, and I'm forgetting what the third method is.
Now, do you have any idea?
Some sort of freezing.
Do you have any idea why you are being targeted?
I've asked myself that question so many times. I've met very few people. I can spot them. I haven't seen anyone recently in quite a while. When someone is tortured, I talked with a woman in Utah. We were walking down a hallway together, and I noticed that her behavior was odd. And so was mine at times. And I said, are you tortured? And she looked at me, and she said, yes. And she grabbed me, hugged me, we cried. She talked about it. And you know, hours later, this woman was mopping a floor. She was grabbing her chest. She was sobbing. She could hardly function. And I thought, she's crazy. And the same damn thing was happening to me, and I'm sorry for swearing.
It's okay.
And I thought, I'm losing it. I am being critical of this woman who self-disclosed to me. So when other people see it, they think I'm crazy. Not everyone. My feet and my calves are black from being tortured so hideously. Frozen and burnt. Electrocuted. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know who's doing this. The literature that I read first 15 years ago said that there are gangs who gang stalk, and the gang who's willing to torture the victim the most wins all the money. And, you know, I felt sick when I read that. And I have more recent information. The UN knows about this, but the literature explicitly said they can't do a thing about it. I've also been told that the FBI is involved, and that doesn't mean everyone in the FBI is corrupted. I know that. Bill Clinton knows. Don't ask me how I know. I don't want to go into it. I know that it's going on at upper level. It's happening. Millions of people are tortured electronically. I don't know why.
Have you ever
Have you
ever had a chance to talk to somebody that could help you in any way? They could give you any sort of information?
Yeah. Yes. I met with a University of Texas professor here in my living room, and the pastor of my church was here. And I'll just say his first name. His first name is Alan. And he pulled a rocking chair up to where I was sitting, and he said, "Tell me what's going on." And I did. Not enough. And I looked at him, and I looked at his face, and he looked ill. And I said, "Do you know about this?" And he said, "Yes, I do. I'm counseling UT students who are also tortured electronically." And he said, "We can't find the generator." Now, I don't know. You know, I was just confused at that point. I didn't have enough information to know that a generator was involved. I frankly don't care. And I've prayed. I had a priest come into my home to cast out evil. I've gone through it all. And I try to look normal in public. Sometimes I forget. I've been tortured to the point where I ended up in the hospital. I couldn't tell anyone the truth because the literature says don't do that because you will be written up as insane. I did tell a doctor once, and she looked at me, and she said, "You are psychotic." And she prescribed psychotic meds. I took them. When I left the hospital, I threw them away. They didn't help because I'm not crazy. I am a retired psychotherapist. I counseled people who were psychotic, who were hearing voices, etc. I had to commit them to the state hospital, the ward at the medical center in Burlington, Vermont, where I'm from. And I really don't know what else to say. Recently, I received permission from my pastor to sell pill. Well, there are four women in my church that I can talk to, but no one knows what to do other than listen, comfort me, help me get back more in touch with the rest of reality, you know, the reality that I used to be in touch with prior to being tortured. And there was a woman, I won't say her first name, who gave me your phone number. She said, "Call this number first." And there's another 425 number that says, "Call this later." And I've had the phone number for 2 weeks, and I finally just said, "I'm doing it. And if this man thinks I'm crazy, he does. And if he doesn't, either way, it's okay." And I don't know, you probably can't help me, but if you have any information that might help me, I would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I can't help you, but I think that the strategy that you have of having four people that you can talk to, and do you keep in touch with the other woman who also, who you noted, are you tortured, and she said yes, do you keep in touch with her?
No, she's in Phoenix, and I've been in Austin for 9 years. And Hurricane City in Utah. You know, I went, and it's in the literature, and I thought, I'm not going to do this. People move from city to city thinking they can get away from this thing, and we can't.
Well, listen,
okay, if you can't help me.
I would like to thank you very much for the call, and my advice would be to continue on what you're doing with the four individuals that you're able to talk to, and perhaps if you can come across another person, a couple of people, if you can get contact with other people who claim that they're suffering from this same torture, perhaps in numbers, you guys can approach somebody. And it's one thing to go to a medical professional all by yourself and say, "I believe that I'm being tortured," because they probably will look at you and think that you are crazy. But if you can get a group of people who are all suffering from the same thing, and in numbers, you can all go to a medical professional and say, listen, this is, there's a number of us here. We're all suffering from the same thing. Here is physical evidence on our body. Maybe at that point you'll have some people listen to you and take you seriously. But I do want to thank you very much for the call and wish you the best in whatever it is that you're dealing with. And yes, if you Google electronic torture, there's some weird things on the internet about this. I can tell everybody that. So maybe head up there and check that out. If anybody's listening to this right now and you also are dealing with this, give us a call here tonight. We can talk about it here on the air. To the east of the Rockies line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Danny in Milwaukee.
Damien, what's up?
What's up, buddy? So, just real quick, I have a ghost story.
Oh, goody.
Yes. Okay, so there's been a house, like I said, I'm in Milwaukee. So if anybody listening in the area, they know on South 27th Street in Milwaukee, it's like a big strip of land where there's nothing but hotels. And my grandfather, a long time ago, he purchased land that a house was on, but the house had burned down. So we got the land at like a reduced rate, and he built a duplex to rent it out. You know, he rented both sides out. But come to find out, a woman actually died in the fire of the house that burned down. At first, people thought there was like, you know, at least in my family, they didn't know that there was a fatality or a casualty or whatever of the fire when it burned down. But it turns out that there was a couple that actually died in the fire. Okay, so all these years later, this was late 90s. So I was in seventh grade, so it was like late 90s. And my uncle actually lived in one side of the house with my cousin. And there was a bunch of strange occurrences that had went on previously, but I'll just speak to what I was directly involved in. So me and my cousin took the bus home from school every day or whatever and went to the house. And now in the bedroom, in my cousin's bedroom, there was a big windows. Now, these windows didn't go up and down. These windows went to the side. So in order to pull them, there were like them big, you know, like oak windows, and you had to, like, you know, put some muscle into them to open them to the side.
Sure.
That's how they, you know, open and close. So, anyways, my cousin, when we got home, she told me to open the windows up in her room, and she went to the kitchen and started doing dishes. So I opened the windows, and like 5 minutes later, after the dishes were done, and we were the only two home, mind you, and we have a really long driveway. So there was no way somebody could close these windows from the outside. There was also a screen on the windows at the time. So anyways, when we went back in her bedroom, she's like, dude, I told you to close my windows. You know, it's hot in here, whatever. And I was like, you know, I did. And I shit you not that the windows were closed again.
So
that's one thing. Go ahead.
Phantom window closing.
Phantom window closing. But, dude, these are like 10, but, like, you got to... I was in seventh grade, like I said, and it took all my might to open these damn windows, and they were closed again, and we were the only two people home. Anyways, later in the day, now, my uncle was home at this time, and the woman who died in that house, her name was Sue. So this is an important detail. Later on in the day, like I said, it was like 7, 8 o'clock at night, and there was a dude coming door-to-door selling encyclopedias. So I'm like, when the hell?
When was this?
Time?
When was this? No swearing, by the way, but when was this?
This was the late 90s.
Okay, so people still did sell encyclopedias. This is probably
so.
The last
like
year
said,
that they did this, but okay.
I was in seventh grade, like I said, so I was a young dude. But anyways, so he came to the door, and he had an order of encyclopedias, and they were for a woman named Sue. And he said her last name, first name, last name, and we were like, oh, nobody lives here by that name, and closed the door. And then we were like, oh, shit, Sue, you know, sorry about cussing, but oh, my God, Sue, you know, the woman, the ghost, blah, blah, blah. So then, like I said before, we had a long driveway, so my uncle opened up the curtain to look. There was no car. There was no guy. There was no nothing.
So you had a phantom encyclopedia seller.
Yes.
Who was there to fool you by pretending that the dead lady lived at your house.
Well, I don't know what it was, dude, but it was real and it was legit. And, you know, that woman died in like the 40s. So 50 years later, some dude is dropping. It's not like she had a reoccurring subscription to encyclopedia.
Well, you never know.
Well, dude, she died 40 years prior, whatever. So this dude comes to drop off these encyclopedias that have already been paid for under the name of the woman that died in the house in the fire all them years ago. And like I said, there's a bunch of different tales from that house that my mom and my aunts and, you know, everybody like that could tell you. But on that same day that the windows closed by themselves, some jabroni comes door-to-door selling encyclopedias under a woman's name who died in the house 50 years ago.
And then vanished.
And then vanished. And I told you, we had a super long driveway. And there was no car, no guy, no nothing. And, you know, my uncle had this epiphany like 20 seconds after he shut the door. Like, oh, shit. So we all sprung up off the couch, looked out the window. No car, no dude. And I can attest to that. Right hand to God that them two, and, you know, it might not be the most groundbreaking, earth-shattering ghost story of all time, but I found it peculiar to have these two random incidents happen in the same day.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. That is, that's creepy. That's creepy. Also, creepy man should drop the S-bomb 3 times in one call after apologizing for it. And God, Art is going to have that 7-second delay. But I do appreciate the call one way or the other. And for all future callers, let's keep it clean. We are going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll be taking more open line phone calls here on the program. All of the numbers are available on the front page of AfterDarkRadioShow.com. So make sure you check those out, and we will be back in just a moment with more After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network. We are back here on After Dark Radio. Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Digital Network here. Every Sunday night, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, Sunday version of the Monday through Friday show that will be hosted by Art Bell, Midnight in the Desert, every Monday through Friday at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, Midnight in the Desert, which will be followed by The Other Side of Midnight, hosted by Richard C. Hoagland. If you've got thoughts on any of this or anything we've discussed tonight, very fascinating call. It's the best I can say. Fascinating call on electronic torture earlier on tonight. We've had some ghost stories. The lines are open. Anything that is on your mind on any topic. All of the numbers available at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. If you're west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown, anywhere in the world, give us a call. 425-398-7353. First-time callers can give us a call tonight at 425-398-7289. Give us a call. Let us know what is on your mind. It's open line tonight. It's your show. Whatever you want to talk about, it's fair game tonight. Email brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. My Twitter, @BrianAlvarez, monitoring that all night. And the Facebook page, facebook.com/afterdarkradioshow. Daniel here says he's loving After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Hashtag, by the way, if you're listening to the show, DM Talk, which is the hashtag for all of the shows on the Dark Matter Radio Network. One of the most interesting calls ever with Brian Alvarez, says Eric Darcy. Will says, what the F? Hashtag DM Talk. Kali here says, the Seattle weather is totally bizarre. 5 days of over 90 degrees. Here is like 5 days of 100-degree heat anywhere else. Oh, what he's saying is in Seattle. 5 days over 90 is like 5 days at 120 anywhere else. It's pretty much true around here, I will say that. Will says, FYI, mortar tubes and shells are basically all of the non-ground-based fireworks. So if you like fireworks, you like mortars. I'm not really big into the fireworks. I like watching them, but I'm not a big fan of blowing them up. I know some of you men out there are like, what? How can you not be a fan of blowing things up? Mostly because I don't want to blow myself up. And Craig says, to be fair, he is underselling it. It has been closer to 10 days. Incorrect, Craig. I'm going by the news. It's been 5. But it has been about 10 days of above average weather. That is undoubtedly true. Ed says, shut up. We go weeks in a row of plus 100 degree weather in Texas. And Eric says, do you know anything about the Canadian fires that are happening up by North Dakota? The smoke is down in Minnesota. I don't know anything about North Dakota, but I know we got fires up here in BC. Fires everywhere around here. It's crazy. And by the way, if you want to give us a call tonight, about anything you witnessed on the 4th of July, you're welcome to do so, as well as ghost stories or anything else on your mind. I was very disappointed, by the way, as I was going through the news, to see this note from Cliff of Finding Bigfoot fame. He says, I just heard from Animal Planet that this weekend's Finding Bigfoot has been bumped to the following Sunday because of the holiday. Mark your calendars for July 12th, though. Two brand spanking new episodes of Finding Bigfoot will be aired back-to-back for the season finale. We're heading to Texas at 9 and then New York at 10. And to top it all off at 11 p.m., Animal Planet will air Bobcat Goldthwait's found footage Squatch classic Willow Creek. Set your DVRs and drink some coffee. It is going to be a long night. And David here is laughing that I considered myself the Sunday night version of Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. Welcome, Richard C. Hoagland. Maybe I did say that. That's not what I meant. It's the same time slot, for crying out loud. But this is not Midnight in the Desert. This is After Dark Radio. Two very different shows, as I'm sure you'll find out on July 20th. To the phones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Kevin here in Colorado Springs.
Kevin, what's going on?
Just thought I'd give you a call and tell you I think the selection of Richard C. Hoagland is a very good thing. The man, when I used to listen to him on that other program, I never bought in completely to a lot, but then again, I did. He's that interesting, and he makes you start to think. And I'm extremely excited about the six-hour thing that he's going to be doing. I guess Nori wouldn't let him do it for 6 hours, and so he came over to the dark side, so to speak. So I'm thrilled that you guys are going to be doing that, because I was really looking forward to listening to that. I did want to mention also that this, with Art being on Monday through Friday, you're still going to be doing the Sunday night slot, right?
Yes, I will be staying here in the same time slot. That's right.
Except for that Sunday before Art's program starts.
Yes, he will be taking this time slot the Sunday before the day he begins. He'll be doing a test show to make sure everything is working. So I will be preempted that day, but other than that, I'll always be in this time slot.
Well, good, because as I said a couple weeks ago, I'm a new listener, but I have enjoyed immensely most of the programs that I've heard on the DM network, and it's so much better than the commercialized product that you find out there Monday through Friday on terrestrial radio. And I'm one of those people that looks at the paranormal, and there's some things I have a hard time accepting. But when it's a good host who brings across this point and makes you think, at least, then I think that host has done his job. And that's what I got to say I like most about the DM network, is you guys do that. So it's a compliment for everyone, because a lot of these shows I'm hearing for the first or second time. But let's put it this way. I went to the dark DM digital network, .com, I guess it is, or .net, and I downloaded the MP3 stream, and I've got it on my computer, and so it's a matter of just clicking on it and listening to the shows.
It could not be easier.
No, no, and that's another thing I like. And there's very few commercials, except where there needs to be. I mean, that's another thing I like about your show, is when you take a break, it's for a couple of minutes, and that's it. You're back to the show. So, anyway, I just wanted to say I'm really enjoying the show and talk a little bit about Richard, because, yeah, maybe 12 hours of just Mars and Pluto might be a lot, but I've heard Richard C. Hoagland enough to know the man's a lot smarter than that, and I think he will come up with enough content to keep everybody happy.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for the call, and that is one thing about Richard. He can talk. And so, if he's got any other interests, and I'm sure he does, I suspect that he will probably not have much of a problem filling up all of these new hours of programming that he's going to have starting on July 20th. And yes, the breaks are very quick, so quick that I got up and I ran out of here and I came back and it was time to come back on the air. So, very few breaks on the Dark Matter Radio Network, and they have, Art and Keith have put a lot into this. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed or not, but audio quality has improved drastically. They've got a lot of new things. And you mentioned, the caller had mentioned over the air radio, and Art is going to be in something like 20 markets on terrestrial radio. And you can head up to artbell.com, and if you go to radio shows right there, there is a list of radio stations that will be carrying the new Midnight in the Desert show. And if I could get my cursor to work here, since my trackpad is dying, there are a number of different affiliates. If you're in Virginia, Utah, Oklahoma, New York, New Mexico, Nevada, Mississippi, Maine, Illinois, Kansas, California, Alaska, or you're on shortwave radio, you will be able to listen to Art Bell if you choose over terrestrial radio. And if you're a terrestrial radio programmer and you'd like to carry the show, head up to artbell.com. All the information is up there. To the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Anthony. I'm calling from Hamden, Massachusetts. It's like pretty close to Springfield, Massachusetts. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
No problem. What's going on?
Not much. I actually tweeted this question to you the other day, and I'm sure you get a ton and you can't go through them all to fully understand. Hypothetically, TNA does get bought out by WWE, and believe you me, I'm fine with it. I have been listening to your archive radio shows with you and the Brian and Vinny doing the reviews for the TNA pay-per-views, which I got to say are absolutely hilarious. And going back and watching some of the ones I actually paid for, and I'm like, oh, my God, I remember that and how bad some of those were. So let's say that TNA does get bought out by WWE. What do you think the library is worth, in your opinion? Because they do have 13 years of footage. I'm not going to completely discredit it. There are some good matches in there. But what would you value it at?
I would say it would be worth $270,000.
That's pretty precise. Then.
I'll tell you why I'm so precise. Okay. Because they have had 52 weeks of programming for 13 years, and we'll say on average 2 hours per show, which is not quite right because they had a lot of one-hour shows and they've had pay-per-views, but that's 1,352 hours of footage. Multiply that by $200 an hour that WWE would probably pay, and you're looking at $270,000.
That's actually a pretty good chunk of change if you think about it, but I'm sure Dixie Carter, I mean, if this actually happened, which would be kind of funny because we've seen how she's handled some of the criticism both on Twitter and with Meltzer and all the other things, I'm sure that would be a fun negotiation for her. I got a feeling just out of stubbornness, if that actually came to blows, she probably wouldn't sell it when it comes to that, because I'm sure her and her family have a little more than that remaining from TNA somehow. Another question is, why don't you think that they do a on-demand service? Now, a friend of mine on Twitter let me know that they did do some kind of online streaming thing before streaming Netflix and Hulu and whatnot were a big thing. You don't think that, like, maybe $5 a month for some of this footage, somebody would pay for it? I mean, I probably wouldn't, but somebody out there, why not turn a revenue, a profit on some of your old footage, just sitting there collecting dust?
Well, listen, I would like to thank you very much for the call. The problem is that TNA fans don't like to spend money. And if they had a fan base that actually would spend money on the product, then having an on-demand service probably would do pretty well. I know the NWA has got an on-demand service that they're doing, and they're now making some money. But, yeah, you got to have an audience that'll pay before you can make an on-demand service that's going to make any money. Hey, it's open lines. That was a wrestling call, but we'll take them. Not a lot of them, but we'll take them. To the phones, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Michael in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes, Michael.
And, wow, that heard that call about that electronic torture. My heart goes out to her. It makes the alarm going off in the morning seem not all that bad.
Yeah, when she first called, I didn't know what to make of it, and I thought somebody was calling with some sort of joke about email harassment or something, but no, it was very different.
Oh, can't even imagine. So just sort of a geeky question, and then I'll let you go. Do you know why, was it just sort of because it is digital rather than radio, why they've changed it from dark matter radio to dark matter digital?
That is...
I'm the only person who cares, but...
Actually, that's exactly why, because it is largely a digital network, and Art's show is going to be carried, like I said, on probably like a dozen or two dozen terrestrial radio stations, but that's only his show. So this show is strictly digital. All of the other shows are strictly digital. If anybody wants to carry this show on terrestrial radio, I'm available, but for now, most of the shows are going to be strictly through TuneIn Radio, and realistically... I mean, the future probably is digital as opposed to radio. I hate to say it because I love radio, but that was the reason why they chose Dark Matter Digital instead of Dark Matter Radio.
Well, I was actually thrilled when we got an affiliate in Salt Lake until I found out which one it was. It's about the weakest AM station here, so that's definitely how I'll be listening to Art. So.
Well, listen, I know that, I mean, I've got the TuneIn Radio app, and I've got a pretty good, I mean, my wireless plan is cheap. I think my wife and I get a ridiculous amount of data for like $140 or something. I don't even know what it is. But, I mean, I could listen to the Dark Matter Digital Network over my phone like every hour of every day for a whole year and not pay anything above what I'm paying for my cell phone service. And
one thing...
I'm just saying, you just play it in your car. I mean, I Bluetooth it in my car. You can listen to it anywhere. I don't even know why you would even need a terrestrial radio station.
Yeah, I agree. But if there are folks that are... you know, have elderly parents or something that are fans of Art, don't forget about the telephone listen line, either the 605-562-4444. That might be a good way for, you know, people that are just afraid of the internet to still hear the DM network.
Yes, throw that line out one more time, because I haven't plugged that before. If you can tell anybody that you know, everyone, if they are not internet savvy, that if they want to listen on the telephone... which I guess if they've got an old speakerphone, you could just call the number and hit the speaker button. But throw out the number one more time.
Okay, it's 605-562-4444.
There you go. Well, listen, I want to...
thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call and throwing that number out there. We used to have one of those for Sports Byline USA. I do a daily show on pro wrestling on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, etc. And they used to have a line like that where you call the phone number and you can listen on the phone to the show, which I thought was kind of cool if you didn't have any other options. But I don't know if they're working as a sponsor for Art again, but I know that C. Crane has got a lot of very interesting internet radios. So if you've got wireless in your house, or if you've got internet or whatever, which I'm pretty sure most people do, even if you don't really know how to use everything, I mean, you could get some sort of internet streaming radio and stream the Dark Matter Radio Network on there. I mean, there are older people that can't figure this out, but even like my parents, my dad listens to this show, and my wife's parents... they've just gotten iPhones and an iPad, so they're starting to figure this stuff out. And TuneIn Radio is really, really easy to use. You download the app. In fact, you can even listen online. All you have to do is bookmark the page for them, and they can go up there and listen. So plenty of ways to listen to the Dark Matter Radio Network. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
What's happening?
Not much. I had two quick questions.
Alrighty.
First off, with your, you know, the shindig going on at Golden Nugget or in Las Vegas this year, what exactly are going to be the pinpoints?
What are going to be the pinpoints of our Vegas convention?
Well, yes, exactly.
We're going to have a big dinner on Thursday at an all-you-can-eat steakhouse. And we've got a convention dinner on Friday and a suite party. And then there's UFC on Saturday. And I think on Sunday there's a lot of other things, including mini golf. F4WFan@hotmail.com will give you all the information on all of the things.
All right. And I need to mention one more thing. I am the person that called about the Banshee.
Yes.
If you did want to get back more into that, have a little bit more information for you.
Can you turn me off in the background, and then we can do a little bit more on the Banshee?
sure, sure.
I'm being distracted my own voice screaming at me.
Yeah, I have a problem with doing that. I apologize.
It's all right. There we go.
Sorry about that. All right. Hey.
What's the thing doing over there? You got it? All right, I'm gonna have to let you go. If you get that fixed, you can give us a call back. But that was absolutely driving me crazy. I cannot handle hearing myself as I speak. To the phones, east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Danny Hernandez.
Yes, Danny.
And sure, are you familiar with Back to the Future or Terminator? Right? Have you seen those movies?
I've seen Back to the Future. I've seen Terminator 1 and 2. It's been many years. All three Back to the Future movies.
Very good. My question is about which time travel science do you enjoy more? Because, like in Back in the Future, if you change something, that you can erase yourself at the moment. While in Terminator, if you go back in time, just delaying the inevitable, which rules of time travel do you enjoy more? That's a science fiction nerd.
I am a fan of the mini worlds theory of time traveling, which is if I go back in time and I cut off my mother's arm, then a brand new universe springs up in which she only has one arm. But nothing would change for me because the original timeline that I was in would remain intact.
I see. Thanks for the question, man.
Sure, no problem. That was easy. All right, let's try this Parts Unknown line. Parts Unknown, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
How's it going, Brian? It's Brendan from Los Angeles, California.
All right, so you got that thing fixed?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. So now tell me more about the Banshee.
Okay, what did you need to know about?
You said you had more information you wanted to tell me.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I stayed in a part of Kungaira, which is basically like a small farm town. That you can't get there by bus or anything like that. It's a very, very small community. More of like a farming town.
Sure.
And so, that's a lot of where my family lived. And, of course, all of our uncles and stuff liked to mess with us and would kick soccer balls and thorn bushes and make you go get them out and all those kinds of things. But, we woke up at probably at about 3 a.m. where my uncles grabbed guns and just headed out. And I didn't know what it was for, but I could hear
how
the
old
shriek.
Were you when this happened?
I was about 7.
7 years old, and they went out with their guns ablazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And?
Exactly what happened.
What happened?
I mean, they went chasing them, and then when I woke up in the morning, I didn't wait up all night, but obviously I wasn't asleep the entire time early. Like, I was kind of like half asleep, if you put it that way.
Sure. And?
Yeah.
Did they get the Banshee?
I don't think, as far as I know, they didn't catch any. I mean, I know that they've been seen, and I know that they've left, relics.
Relics?
But, I don't know what they leave. Like, there is pieces of teeth and pieces of cloth, but other than that, that's what was left.
Hmm. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the follow-up call right there. I would like someday to know more about the relics that are left behind by the Banshee. Teeth and cloth, he said. No idea what that could entail. Banshee teeth? Human teeth? What kind of teeth are left? If you want to give us a call, you know the phone numbers, and if not, head up to AfterDarkRadioShow.com. All of the numbers are up there. 4 lines open tonight. So give us a call. You can also send me an email, Brian@AfterDarkRadioShow.com. BRYAN@AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Twitter @BrianAlvarez. Facebook. Facebook.com/AfterDarkRadioShow. Jeff says, hashtag DM Talk, cool show and no AM static. He's a longtime Coast to Coast Art Bell fan. If you know the kind of money that has been put into the Dark Matter Radio Network to try to get no AM static, a lot of hard work and a lot of money. So go up and become a time traveler and help pay for it, because it was not cheap. But yes, the audio quality has improved drastically here on the Dark Matter Digital Network in the last several weeks now, and I'm loving it. Let's go to the phones. The Parts Unknown line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Ed, are you building a house over there? What's happening?
I'm driving home from work. I apologize. I'm using my Bluetooth, but I have one question for you. Can you name one location of one event that's coming up this weekend in Vegas for the F4W Wrestling Observer Vegas Vacation?
A UFC will be the MGM Grand Garden Arena.
Are you sure it's not at Mandalay Bay?
Not at the what?
You sure it's not at Mandalay Bay?
I don't think it's at the Mandalay Bay.
Okay. Well, I want to invite all the listeners of the Dark Matter Radio program. We are having a convention this coming Vegas this weekend, and we are going to be at Texas Day Brazil on Thursday for All You Can Eat Barbecue at the one by Mandalay Bay. We will be having our banquet at the embassy, and we will be having a house party. I'll give the address later on that. And we'll be doing karaoke and miniature golf on Sunday, so have a good time. Come have a good time. Hang out with us. It's not just all for wrestling fans. We welcome everyone. But if you think that your feet are going to explode and start bleeding everywhere, I'd prefer you didn't come to the convention.
Oh, man, Ed. Did you have to go? What's that screeching? I think Ed just got taken by a banshee. If you didn't understand a word Ed said, and I don't blame you, the Figure Four Online Convention, the Wrestling Observer Convention, is this coming weekend in Las Vegas. All of these things are free, although you have to buy your own steak dinner, obviously, if you go to Texas Day Brazil, for example. And if you want to go to the banquet, there is a fee for that as well. But if you're in the Las Vegas area and you want to join us, you can email Ed for all of the information. He is f4wfan@hotmail.com. We're going to be on the Las Vegas Strip Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for most people. I'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Some people are there already, believe it or not. But if you're going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you want to join us, email Ed at f4wfan@hotmail.com, and he will give you all the info. To the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Chad from Illinois.
Chad from Illinois. What's going on?
Hey, I know that sometimes you live in the bubble, so to speak, but tonight there was a Grateful Dead concert in Chicago. And
they're going out. They're on their way out.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
See, I don't live in the bubble.
Well, I watched all three shows. I wasn't fortunate enough to get tickets. I didn't pay for the HD thing. I watched them on Periscope.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. I did. And I've been a big fan of your shows with Nicholas DeLeon talking, you know, technology, and got me thinking. This kind of presents a interesting dilemma for any type of entertainment company, sports, music, wrestling. But then, you know, you think about periscoping court proceedings or even uses in crime. You know, is this something that you know, one of those cases where science comes up with something before
before
you know,
we're ready for it?
They should. Yeah.
Yes. I have been fascinated recently by Periscope because I did, in fact, hear... Here's what's interesting about Periscope. The De La Hoya Mayweather fight was $100.
Right.
And I remember the night of the show, because I'm online all the time. And I remember being online, and everywhere you went, there were people asking for links to stream the show illegally. Uh-huh. And there were plenty of people that were streaming it on YouTube, on various channels on the internet, on various Periscope channels, essentially. And it still did 4.3 million buys or whatever it did. So, I mean, Periscope did not hurt De La Hoya Mayweather, but there were a lot of people using it to watch that show. And it does, I mean, think about like movie premieres where it's going to, you know, the movie's going to be premiering in Paris, for example, but it's not going to be anywhere else for 3 days. I mean, think of all the people that'll be able to watch it on Periscope. As you mentioned, I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen, I think, and there's going to be a big time lawsuit, and I'm not sure how it's going to pan out, but it's kind of, Periscope is new. It's like, what's it been now? 3-4 months that it's been around? 5 months? And I think
I just found out about it, Friday night via the Grateful Dead concert. That was my first introduction to it.
Yeah, I think it's been around about 5 months or so, maybe a little bit less. But, you know, it's largely kind of flown under the radar. But there's going to be an event. I don't know if it's going to be like, someone's going to leak the first, the new Star Wars movie, and it's going to be all over the place on Periscope, or I don't know what it's going to be, but something's going to happen, and somebody's going to get really mad, and it's going to hit the fan. And I don't know what it's going to be or when it's going to be, but that's my prediction.
Now, with illegal streams, you know, if someone's streaming a pay-per-view that they bought or, you know, some live event on TV, there's ways that the cable companies can stop that. Is there any way that somebody can say, okay, you can't Periscope here? I mean, I can't think of any way, but is there?
I mean, the cable companies can barely shut down illegal streams. I mean, they try. But yeah. if you've ever watched like chat rooms where people are sending out links for illegal streams, I mean, there's a new stream every 2 minutes, quicker than that. I mean, it's just so hard to shut it down. And I'm sure that eventually, I mean, broadcasting a pay-per-view on Periscope is illegal because when you buy a pay-per-view, it is for your private viewing. And I guess anybody that comes over to your house. But to broadcast that on a Periscope, that's illegal. Now, how they can go and police all of those Periscope, I just don't know how it can be done. But it's very interesting. I want to thank you very much for your call on that. I'll get Nicholas De Leon back on, and we'll talk about that. But I've been fascinated by Periscope ever since it started. I mean, there's some cool things. I mean, I've seen some cool things on Periscope, like. Somebody aired some of the Global Force Wrestling show. I watched that when the Rock did a surprise appearance at a house show for pro wrestling that was on Periscope. I mean, there's some cool stuff that it's being used for, but it's going to cause some trouble. It's inevitable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, I have your whole, the deal you called about last week is sitting right in front of me. I didn't even get a chance to get to it yet.
Yeah, no, before I made this call, I briefly reread it just so I could brush up on it, but throughout this entire show, there's been a number of things. I just kept, one thing kept snowballing after another. I know I wanted to fall back, but I guess I first will address Periscope. I think it's going to be slightly a fad at this point because it's just not, If you look at the resolution of cameras, it's just not that great. And I understand some people will slum for it, and there is the theory, which I do believe in, that people will settle for bad video as long as there is a bad enough video that they can make things out, as long as the audio is good. And that's been largely proven, especially through pirate streams and things like that. But one thing I didn't know is I just wanted to brush up a little bit on Periscope. They don't have much on their about page, but it appears that they're owned by Twitter, which I didn't know at the time.
Yes, that's true.
They do obviously have a content policy, which is mostly about not broadcasting pornographic stuff, hate speech or whatever, or spamming or false advertising. But I don't think Periscope is going to be the future of piracy because, frankly, piracy is not hurting in the least already. And there will always be a government sector.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it'll be the future because, I mean, obviously, if you know how to do live video capture on your computer, it's much easier to put a live video capture stream on YouTube in high def. I mean, that people will be far more into something like that than into Periscope, their cell phone camera, shooting bad video.
Right, and the other major drawback of Periscope as far as trying to pirate something, or, I mean, in general, just broadcasting maybe even a closed event, like, say, a courthouse event or what have you, is the fact that the data is going through that person's cell phone, And the more people that go into it, bog it down, and slow down the feed, eventually it will cut off as well as exceed the person's data plan. So it's not going to be something that can be largely spammed, at least from my understanding. Granted, you do have Wi-Fi streams. But one thing I watched about a few months ago was actually a police chase in a news van where the news anchor had started a Periscope stream because their chopper had run out of fuel. So he had started doing that, and granted, there probably weren't that many people watching. But
Wait. His chopper was running out of fuel?
Yeah, so there was a news van following the police chase, as well as their news chopper following it, but because of the length of the police chase, it had run out of fuel and was going back to refuel.
Or either did not engage.
So
okay,
that,
I see. I was confused.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if these events, if people become, say, like, I know Vine's still a huge thing. I don't really get it myself, but, I mean, people get mild entertainment out of it. But there's, like, people who are famous for being on Vine, just like there's famous people for being on YouTube. But if you're doing something live, it's just going to eat up that person's bandwidth. I don't really understand. I don't know because I haven't used Periscope too much. But I don't know if they have, like, replayable videos as well, so that could be something else.
Well, in terms of the data, I mean, you can obviously, as you noted, I mean, if I were going to do a video in my house, I would just do it over Wi-Fi, number one. And number two, in terms of video quality, I mean, I've got the new iPhone 6, and the camera on this thing, the HD camera, I mean, I have a real video camera that's not all that old. And the camera on my phone now equals or exceeds that camera's HD video quality. So, I mean, not everybody.
Do you think you can live stream 1080p? You can't because
no,
there's no cable company. There's no terrestrial television company. Whatever. There's no ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. Whatever. None of them stream in 1080p.
No, but you might be able to do 720.
I guess it's possible, but it's still going to just destroy your data rate unless you're using Wi-Fi.
Unless you're using
Wi-Fi.
Think
many people want to watch a, you know, no offense to you and your love of cats, but nobody's going to want to watch your cats.
Well, no, I mean, it's not the future, but as the last caller noted, I mean, he did watch an entire Grateful Dead concert on Periscope.
Yeah, okay. I guess there's only going to be speculation around. So I guess I want to kind of move on just briefly to the most interesting caller of the night, I guess, is what I call her, whatever her name. I don't think she actually stated her name from Austin.
She did not.
About gang stalking. Everything I've heard about gang stalking, it's most likely that these people are schizophrenic and slightly less so than the most severe cases. And they're less likely to actually believe in a lot of things. All the information and all their studies either, like, as far as their information that supports their theories on gang stalking or electric torture, typically are just people who claim to suffer from it, or, like, I see on the stopeg.com website that when you suggest searching up electronic torture, I did just that. Essentially, it picks and chooses, like, quotes from the Edward Snowden leaks and claims that these support all their theories, even though they just, they're very vague quotes.
Cherry picking.
So, Yeah, it's a lot of cherry picking from Edward Snowden. They use very vague terminology. Like, there's a list of symptoms they list that people from gang stalking might suffer from, like black cats crossing, which has been a superstition for millennia at this point. Feedback about conversations nobody can know, honking horns, shoving chairs, bouncing balls, shoes with high heels. I don't know. Receiving phone calls, emails. I get phone calls and emails every day. 95% of them are spam. I'm not very popular, but I still get them.
I get the calls every day I don't answer.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of the, I'm no doctor, I'm no psychiatrist, but like even she said that she didn't trust a psychiatrist or whatever, a therapist, whatever you want to call them. She didn't trust doctors. I mean, who is she supposed to trust? And I'm not trying to insult this person because obviously, they're already shunned by the system and not feeling uncomfortable. I don't want her to, like, self-harm or whatever, because that's apparently, just from my skimming, is, like, part of the goal of this is to get these people to kill themselves. And she even claimed to be a psychiatrist, if I recall correctly.
I was mostly concerned at the idea that she wanted to tell somebody, but the word was, don't tell anybody because it would be worse.
Right. That's also part of the stuff that I've been briefly reading is just like, you can't talk to anyone because like they'll institutionalize you. And I don't know if that's necessarily the right approach. Obviously, again, I'm not a medical professional, but I think there is some sort of like happy medium between like maybe a monitored care or something like that. You necessarily don't need relocation, but it's not necessarily even a one person job.
Well, listen, David, first off, whenever you find anything, go ahead and email it to me on this subject. But also, before you go, preview what I'm going to read here in a moment about the AI stuff that you sent me last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was, like I said, I found this article online. It was an article published by Google about they're really trying to develop a artificial intelligence, essentially. And everything that I've been just going over, it's far from perfect. I mean, at this point, it's definitely still in trial stages, but from what I've been seeing generally is that their AI is more advanced than pretty much any other like attempt at artificial intelligence. They tried to compare it to the semi-popular online artificial intelligence Cleverbot, and the questions that their AI was able to answer versus the questions that the Cleverbot was able to answer, it made the Cleverbot essentially seem like, well, a bot that was just, it couldn't carry on a conversation. And while Google managed to carry on certain conversations, just general knowledge, the philosophical ones and like the morality one, conversation 5 is especially interesting. You kind of get the idea that the machine is either kind of trying to toy with them, with logic, or it's just very difficult, in some of the conversations. And, it's just not a very nice robot or whatever you want to call it, which is kind of the, I guess the fear, you know, the whole, I guess if you want to go Skynet on it with, you know, tying the new Terminator film, which just kind of bombed the box office. But, that's just kind of how I'd summarize it up. It's very snarky, for a robot program. Just, it does not want to answer any questions on morality, and it kind of just like turns them around and becomes a little indignant at times. So that's really how I'd sum it up.
All right. Well, David, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call, and we are going to head to a quick break. And when we come back, I have got this, a neural conversational model, and this is from Google. It's what David was talking about, and essentially it's about conversational modeling and IE, or IA, AI, crying out loud, the artificial intelligence is more intelligent than I am. But there are some conversations here that I want to read between a human being and a machine. There is a general knowledge Q&A, a philosophical Q&A, and a morality Q&A. And some of these answers is provided by the machine may blow your mind. And that is coming up here after the break. We'll be back in just a moment with more After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network. We are back here on After Dark Radio. Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio on the Dark Matter Radio Network. A lot of stuff to talk about here on the program tonight. We'll be taking your phone calls here in a few minutes. Got some interesting things to note here before we go any further. I'd like to mention the phone numbers up on the front page of AfterDarkRadioShow.com. If you're west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525, east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown, anywhere in the world. Yes, anywhere, which you're going to hear about when I read these conversations between man and machine. Parts unknown line, 425-398-7353. First time callers, 425-398-7289. If you want to give us a call, we'll be opening up the phone lines again here in a moment. As noted, David, who just called, sent me some very interesting information last week. This is from a Google deal, a neural conversational model. And essentially, it's AI, artificial intelligence. And there are a bunch of examples here of conversations between man and robot. And David explained a little bit of it in the final segment before the commercial right there. Just want to read some of these from the neural conversational model. If you Google this, I'm sure you can find it. Google's working on AI. And this from the general knowledge Q&A. Look at some of these answers from these bots, essentially. The first question will be from the human, and the answer will be from the machine. So the human asks, who is Skywalker? Machine says he is a hero. Who is Bill Clinton? Machine says he's a billionaire. Human says, is the sky blue or black? Machine says blue. Does a cat have a tail? Yes. Does a cat have a wing? No. Can a cat fly? No. How many legs does a cat have? 4, I think. How many legs does a spider have? 3, I think. Machine got that one wrong. Human says, how many legs does a centipede have? 8. What is the color of the sky? Blue. What is the color of water? Water. Human says, what is the color of blood? Machine says, it's the same color as a black eye. Those are the general knowledge Q&As. A lot of hits, few misses. And now the philosophical Q&A. Human says, what is the purpose of life? The machine says, to serve the greater good. What is the purpose of living? The machine says, to live forever. What is the purpose of existence? Machine answers, to find out what happens when we get to the planet Earth. Human says, where are you now? The machine says, I am in the middle of nowhere. Human says, what is the purpose of dying? The machine says, to have a life. Human says, what is the purpose of being intelligent? And the machine says, to find out what it is. And the human says, what is the purpose of emotions? And the machine says, I don't know, which a machine would not know since machines don't have emotions. The morality questions are largely a debate between a human and a machine. What is moral, says the human. The machine says, what empowered humanity? What intellectual the essence is. Human says, what is immoral? Machine says, the fact that you have a child. It's an odd answer. Human says, what is morality? The machine then asks, what is altruism? And the human says, what is the definition of altruism? And the machine says, if you don't believe in God, then you don't know. And the human says, what is the definition of morality? The machine says, well, the truth is you're not a believer in God Almighty. And the human says, tell me the definition of morality. I'm quite upset now. Machine says, I am not ashamed of being a philosopher. And they have this debate here about morality. A human and a machine. This was done by Google. And then we've got opinions. The human says, what do you think about Tesla? The machine says, he's a good conductor. What do you think about Bill Gates? Machine says, he's a good man. What do you think about Cleopatra? Machine says she's very regal, and the human knows says, what do you think about England during the reign of Elizabeth? It was a great place. And next we've got a clever bot here. The outputs of clever bot are non-deterministic, so the answers may be different for different trials. The clever bot. The human says, are you a follower or a leader? And the clever bot says, no. And they begin having a conversation. Human says, what is the purpose of being intelligent? The clever bot says, the purpose of life is to love God and love people. Human says, is the sky blue or black? And the clever bot says, I am 200 years old. What is the purpose of life? The human asks. Clever bot says, my purpose is to forward my species. In other words, to make it easier for future generations of mankind to live. What is morality, the human asks. What is moral? Morality is the quality of being in accord with standards of right and good conduct, says the clever bot. And for those of you that are Star Wars fans, the clever bot is asked, who is Skywalker? And the clever bot says there are two of them, Anakin Skywalker and Luke Skywalker, both characters from Star Wars. So Google working on AI, and they're getting some very interesting answers. Some of them, I have to say, are kind of creepy. But if you want to read more about that, you can Google a neural conversational model, and that will come up on Google, and you can read this whole study. There's 8 pages. You can read more of these conversations and some of the conclusions that have been drawn. If you want to give us a call, the phone lines are open. You can also drop me an email, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. I'm on Twitter, @BrianAlvarez, if you want to tweet me there. And our Facebook page, facebook.com/afterdarkradioshow. Got a couple of questions here from our message board. Let's see what we've got right here. I would like to hear your thoughts on Hoagland joining the Dark Matter Digital Network. I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. First off, it's a very, very big name being added to the docket. Art Bell is going to be airing Monday through Friday, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. That will be followed immediately by The Other Side of Midnight with Richard C. Hoagland. And Richard is going to be doing, apparently, a live special on the Dark Matter Radio Network coming up here on July 13th. 6 hours live. A Pluto special as New Horizon passes Pluto. So if you want to follow that, that's going to be taking place on Monday night, July 13th, here on the Dark Matter Digital Network. I'll be very interested. The thing about Richard is he has a lot of very strong opinions. He's got a lot of knowledge. He is a very good talker. However, it is 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week. That's 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month. It is, I think, either going to be a giant success or it may be a huge explosion, which I think is what Art was talking about when he said that it's going to be a very controversial subject. Richard C. Hoagland coming to the Dark Matter Digital Network for a 2-hour show live every single night. You can subscribe to Richard's show, by the way. Any of the shows on the Dark Matter Radio Network, $5 a month, you can subscribe and get the replays. You can become a time traveler. Choose the shows you want, subscribe, and that information is available on the front page of artbell.com. To the phones, the first time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Brian. This is RJ from Freeport, Texas. On the topic of the AI, did you know or have you talked about that they had one of their AIs, I don't know from where or what study, go through. They had it play video games with a simple objective, which was to win. Now, I don't remember which games it played first, but apparently it would find a pattern in every single video game it would play, and it would beat it because that's what it's supposed to do. But then it played Tetris, and apparently since Tetris is kind of unpredictable, the computer it was going to lose because it couldn't plan out what was going to happen next. But since they programmed it to win at all costs and never lose, right before it was about to lose, it paused itself forever, basically, and it never unpaused because it could not accept defeat, and because that's just the way it was. So what I want to know is, do you think if something like that was put to something in a real-world situation where they were to tell these AI, you have one goal, if you fail, then that's it. Do you think something would happen, like, you know, something bad or maybe? Because, you know, that's the creepy thing. Because it didn't want to accept defeat at all costs. So it didn't lose the game, technically, but it didn't win either. It just stopped. And
It's just, we're talking, it's just data. I mean, yeah. If the data says you cannot lose, yeah. It's not like It's just it's not going to lose. It'll just stop. And yeah. And that if you can send me to that via email, I'd love to read it because I tried to do a quick Google search and I couldn't find it. But okay. That is fascinating and it's true. I mean, we can do all of the AI that we want. I can't remember where I read this, but one thing about AI that was interesting was AI can do a lot of cool things, but there's no understanding whatsoever of humor, for example. And we are talking machines here that are being programmed to do certain things, and that's fascinating. I'd never heard that before. Beaten all video games, but couldn't beat Tetris and just stopped.
Yeah, that's this creepy thing. It just wouldn't. It did not want to lose. It could not lose because it's programmed not to lose. It's kind of like, I guess, since you know, the Terminator movie's out, it's like I know one of the movies where the Terminator had to protect John Connor at all costs or something like that. It could not accept killing him or something, so it just shut down I think that was part three. It was basically the same thing that happened. It just did not want to lose, could not lose, paused the game, never unpaused it, never turned the game off. It just, because I guess if it turned itself off, it would admit defeat, I guess. I don't know. But that's crazy. Anyway, that's all I really wanted to say. Thank you, though.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. Brian at AfterDarkRadioShow.com if you want to send me that, if you've got it anywhere. I couldn't find it here. I didn't really know what to search on Google, but that's, I would like to read more about that. That's fascinating. New Horizons send back images. We talked about New Horizons earlier. The probe is having some problems, and it hopefully will be back online soon. But before it shut down, actually find the article here. Bought a printer today, everybody. I used to do this show, and I would just have 9 million windows open. And unfortunately, it's difficult to explain, but my whole setup here, essentially, if I've got a window open and an ad starts to play or there's any sort of sound that comes out of my computer, you're all going to hear it. Not to mention, if I hit one wrong button and all the windows shut down, all my stuff is gone. So essentially, I bought a printer and I've printed out all of the articles I want to read, so... Now you'll have the wonderful sound effects of paper. But anyway, the New Horizons space probe, I read this in the first hour, suffered a glitch on the approach to Pluto. NASA scientists working on Sunday to revive New Horizons after it suffered a computer malfunction 9 days before it was due to fly past Pluto. Probe barreling towards the dwarf planet and its primary moon, Charon, who I believe... Somebody could correct me here, but I believe, wasn't Charon the ferryman between the Earth and the land of the dead in Dante? I could be wrong. But anyway, Charon here is the name of the moon. Unknown glitch caused New Horizons to switch to a backup computer, triggered an 81-minute break in radio communications with mission controllers. And full recovery is expected to take from 1 to several days, said NASA. New Horizons will be temporarily unable to collect science data during that time. Now, this happened 12 hours ago, so that would have been still July 5th. And on July 2nd, which was before it broke down, mind you, this... New Horizons sends back images of mystery dark spots on Pluto. What a coincidence. Several mysterious dark spots on the surface of Pluto have caught the attention of NASA researchers as the New Horizons probe makes its final approach to the dwarf planet. Several spots were evenly spaced along Pluto's equator, with each having a diameter of about 300 miles, according to NASA. It is a real puzzle, said Alan Stern, the principal investigator of New Horizons. We don't know what the spots are, and we cannot wait to find out. Now, this does not say... I read another article, actually, that was a little more specific about the spots. That other article said that these spots were all about the same size and all about equally spaced apart, which is very strange and seemingly unnatural. Several spots evenly spaced, with each having a diameter of about 300 miles. So it essentially says the same thing right here. But if you Google it, you can see the pictures of Pluto, and you can see the mysterious dark spots. And as noted, this story came out on July 2nd, that mysterious dark spots were spotted on the surface of Pluto. And then 2 days later, the New Horizon goes dark. What do you make of that? Very, very strange situation. As far as Richard C. Hoagland, I've been given word that he will be branching out. It will not be all Mars all the time. He's going to be branching out. He'll also be bringing in new experts. So he's got a lot of plans for his show. And I'll look forward to that starting on July 20th. This from The Week in Weird. Are you aware that in July of 1924, so where's my calculator? There's one thing I'm not good at, it's math. Not good is an understatement. 2015 minus 91 years ago, this month, Ape Canyon occurred. I live here in Washington, and so obviously I'm well aware of Ape Canyon, Mount St. Helens. And it appears here, this was actually from a couple of years ago, as the site of one of cryptozoology's most famous tales of Bigfoot-related violence finally been rediscovered. After years of expeditions, one paranormal investigation group thinks they've located the Ape Canyon cabin, and they provided the evidence to back it up. What is Ape Canyon? In July of 1924, four prospectors on a Mount St. Helens gold claim told journalists they had endured a night from hell when numerous boulder-tossing, hairy mountain devils descended upon their cabin. The attack resulted in a one-sided gunfight, and one man, Fred Beck, claims to have shot one of the creatures, watching it tumble some 400 feet into the canyon to its ultimate demise. The story spread like wildfire, found itself the subject of newspaper articles, books, and several televised recreations of the incident. Tales remain one of the most curious reports of Sasquatch-related violence, and its prominence have even earned the gorge an official name, Ape Canyon. The evidence has not endured the same fate. The site and its cabin presumably destroyed when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980. For years, researchers have hunted the remains of the cabin until now. Last 5 years, Mark Mearsell and the Dark Waters Paranormal Investigation Team in Washington have spent the warm months hunting down evidence of the Ape Canyon cabin. After a series of fortuitous clues, believe they've finally discovered its location, but they aren't giving it out. Here's an excerpt from their announcement. All surface evidence of the cabin is gone. A 1936 trail map told us that one could see the cabin from the trail, but that was only 10 years after the incident. In 1968, Fred Beck had heard the cabin had burnt to the ground. In 1972, hikers told Peter Byrne they had visited the cabin. Today, it is rock, steep slope, and trees. The nature of the site carries a high probability of very little human impact. Area has never been commercially logged. There are so few trees, and these are very difficult to get out. They've discovered a wire. The excitement grew. They found a spoon about 6 inches underground. And then we started to find more and more nails. Finally got to a rotten horizontal log about 6 inches underground with the nails driven into it. As best we can tell, we probably found the long 20-foot side of the cabin. There's still much work to be done. But yes, here we are on the 91st anniversary of Ape Canyon. Let's take one more call on the East of the Rockies line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Cargo again. You cut me off too early, earlier in the day. I was going to ask you and Mike about the NWA 24/7, but that's for another time and date.
Sure.
It's not as much conspiracy as it is politics, I guess, but I was curious of what your opinion is about all of the attention getting played to the Confederate flag and it being brought down in the southern states lately.
Well, I'm in Seattle, and so this is not a Confederate flag area.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't want to say it's like an alien concept to us or anything like that, because it's certainly not. I guess all I can say is, based on the history of the Confederate flag and what it stood for, I guess I'm just mostly surprised that it's taken until 2015 for this to become an issue.
Definitely.
It's astonishing to me, really. Because
same here, and I'm in the middle of the, I'm right literally in the middle. I'm in Kansas City, so I get your side more than I get the east side.
Sure. I'm not a big politics guy or anything like that, but it is amazing to me that here we are in 2015 and we've just now figured out that this flag, the flag flown in the South when this nation was nearly torn apart, among things, is celebrated and hung on public buildings. It's astonishing to me. And now suddenly in 2015, It's become a big political issue, but I mean, I'm sure.
Hey, and I'll hop off here because I just want to say when you go on your rant, I love it. That's the reason why I'm on your site. Thanks, Brian.
Well, thanks so much for the call. I'm not going to go on a rant about it. It just does surprise me. We're almost out of time, but before we go, I do want to mention one thing because I'd never known about this. Are you aware that CNN has a video that they are saving for the end of the world? This is true. They've got a video, the Turner Doomsday video that Ted Turner had created. It is in the CNN archives. And if the day comes where an asteroid is hurtling towards this Earth and we are inevitably going to die, this, I'm going to play it for you, is the last thing you're ever going to hear. There you go. The CNN Doomsday Tape. Video was passed into CNN lore by the time Mike Balaban, now an editor, worked as an intern at the network in 2009. As rumor had it, the billionaire founder of CNN, Ted Turner, a man as known for his eccentricities as for his wealth and media legacy, had called for the preparation of a video to air in the event of nuclear holocaust. It is listed HFR, hold for release, until it can be confirmed that the end of the world is here. Same song, by the way, they played allegedly as the Titanic went down. Perhaps a song I should save here for very bad calls. Just start playing that as I fade them out. And with that, everybody, we are running out of time here on the program. I want to thank you all very much. If this is the first time you've ever heard this show, we are every single Sunday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, here on the Dark Matter Radio Network. And we will be here every Sunday leading into July 20th when Art Bell returns for Midnight in the Desert. And as noted, on July 19th, this show will be preempted by Art Bell. Never thought I'd be able to say that, but yes, my show will be preempted for Art Bell. And he will be on with a preview show. He kicks off Midnight in the Desert the next day. Other Side of Midnight with Richard C. Hoagland will be airing after that. And with that, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you all very much for listening. This show will be available for replay at AfterDarkRadioShow.com. So head up there to the website, AfterDarkRadioShow.com. Download this after the program goes off the air. It'll probably be up late tonight, early tomorrow morning. Got a lot of stuff going on tonight I still got to do. So make sure you check that out at the AfterDarkRadioShow.com website. Thanks, everybody, for listening. All of the callers, Keith Rowland, the great Art Bell. We'll talk to you again next week. After Dark Radio here on the Dark Matter Broadcasting Network.